Amen. Thank you, Carol and Karen. Take your Bibles again. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Of course, our theme is for such a time as this. And the month of May is a time for evangelism. And so we're kind of breaking away from that, though I was wondering about something. How many of you were led to the Lord by your mother? How many of you were led to the Lord? Raise them up real high. I'm just curious about that. Wow, that's a lot of folks. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? And so it is Mother's Day, and just a good thing to look at that. Think about that. It's a lot of folks in here. How many of you were led to the Lord by your father? All right. Not quite as many, but so many led to the Lord by their mother. Praise the Lord. How about your grandmother? Was anyone led to the Lord by their grandmother? All right. Couple. Very good. Very good. Well, we've already read this passage. The Shunammite woman is known for a lot of things. And the Bible says in verse 8 that she's a great woman. You'll see that. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where it was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. It says there was a great woman. She was a great woman. There's a lot of things. A lot of things we will look at. A lot of things to look at. The thing that stood out to me were three words in this passage of scripture that we read a little while ago. And her child has died. Her child has unexpectedly died. I should say her child given to her by God has unexpectedly died. She's not casual about it. She's not aloof about it. She obviously is very concerned about it. And yet, we find verse 26 where she says, "It is well." Now, that just stands out to me. It is well. Here is maybe why the Bible says she's a great woman. She's walking with God and trusting God and has faith in God. That I don't know of anything worse that could ever take place in the life of a mother than to lose this child. I can't imagine anything being worse in her life than to lose this child that was a miracle of God, no question about it. This child that she has had now for years, several years anyway, the child, it says, when the child was grown, that this took place, and now the child is dead. And when she's asked about that, she gives three words. And to me, it is why she's great. Well, how is it? How's things? It is well. It is well, she said. It is well. Father, please bless the preaching of thy word this morning. And I pray that it will be a help to our mothers. Not only to remember someone from the past that mothered us, but that also to be a challenge to every mother here and every Christian here, that truly when we trust you, it is well. Everything is well. And please work in our hearts and our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. She's a great woman for many reasons I mentioned, but I think the thing that stands out to me anyway is her walk with God, where the most tragic thing that could happen to her, she tells someone it is well. She's a great woman, though, because she cared for the man of God, Elisha, the Bible says, in verse 8. She's a great woman, and she constrained him, talking about Elisha, the man of God. She constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And so this man of God, he's preaching, going around and preaching the word, and every time he comes by, she made it known to him, "Hey, you come by and I'll have a meal for you." And it is very, very difficult for men of God to turn down food, all right? So just know that, and it takes great, great restraint, I guess. But I really don't know. But anyway, God then, because of her attitude, because of her greatness, I think, and her walk with God, God blesses her and her husband with a child when the Bible says her husband is old. I'm assuming that means he's well over 55. But anyway, when her husband, and so it's a time when it's totally unexpected. I'm guessing they had given up, and had figured they would not have children. And so God blesses them with this child. And now she's not only a great woman, but now she's become, I believe, a great mother. And the child grows, and the child is old enough now to work out in the field. And whatever takes place, something happens here where the child grabs his head and cries out, my head, and drops. And as we looked at a little while ago, the child eventually dies. And just amazing words in verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. It is well. It really is well. Now, does that mean she's given up? Does that mean, no. She just, her testimony is, you know what? It is okay because my God has everything under control. It is well. My God is God. My God that gave me this child knows about this child, and I trust that my God is going to take care of everything. Now, that doesn't mean she didn't have sorrow. That doesn't mean that she didn't shed tears. That doesn't mean that she wasn't still between her and God seeking God's help to do something. Certainly, it doesn't mean that her love for her child was not sincere. She loved her child. But I want to praise God today for mothers who in the midst of trial can say it is well. Not only say it is well, but it is well. Their testimony is, it is well. It really is well. I thank God for my wife who has seen a lot of those kinds of trials and gone through a lot of those valleys and difficult times. Never have I heard her complain. Never have I heard. It's always an attitude of, it is well. You know, I'll tell you what, when you have that kind of an attitude, it helps everybody around you. You know what? It may be the difference between a child doing the will of God for their life, a child doing right in their life. It may be the difference of that and their life being a total wreck. It's just to be able to go home and know it is well. Hey, it's okay. Mom says it's okay. It's going to work out. Mom said, you know, that would change the homes of Berean Baptist Church more than maybe anything else. If dad comes home and instead of hearing everything bad that's going on in the world and everything bad that's going on around the house and everything bad that's going around on with the kids, to be able to hear it as well. It is well. Change friendships. It would change relationships. Just to be able to, to have somebody say, hey, in the midst of all this junk, it is well. Amen. It is well. I have several things I want to share with you about her that I think caused her to be able to say it is well. Number one, she was perceptive. The Bible says it very clearly that in verse 8, that she was a great woman. She constrained this man of God, Elisha, she constrained him to come and eat bread. And so it was that oft as he passed by, every time he came by, he came there and she fed him a meal. Verse 9, she said unto her husband, behold now, she's perceptive. I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. She was perceptive. She perceived. Now, I don't know if it was because I could smell the chicken frying and he stopped by and she realized this must be a man of God. He likes fried chicken. Maybe it's because he ate so much. I don't know. But somehow she realized this is a holy man. This is God's man. She was perceptive. This is God's man. He's a holy man of God. And she recognized that. Now, what's that mean about it? Well, it means she was a saved woman. She was a woman that believed God. A woman that trusted God. A woman that loved God. A woman that walked with God. A woman that knew the Word of God in reference to the man of God. Here's a woman who loved her church. Here's a woman who loved preaching of the Word of God. Here's a woman that when the man of God or the teacher said, open your Bible, she had her Bible open. She was there and she's looking and she's reading and she's marking things and she's getting up early in the morning and reading her Bible and getting on her knees and talking to God. I mean, you don't come up with perception of the man of God by accident and by women's intuition. No, this is a woman who had the right perception because she had the right walk. She had the right perception because she spent time with God. And she spent time, by the way, a busy woman who is taking care of her home and taking care of her children, taking care of her husband and all those things. Sometimes only time with God is early in the morning, late at night. Sometimes there will be sacrifices made by her as far as sleep and as far as other things that may be playtime. You know, but she wanted to be able to perceive the things of God. And so that would require, obviously, doing things different than the average woman does in this world. I mean, this woman had the right perception. She wasn't trying to climb the social ladder because that takes a lot of time and certainly takes an awful lot of compromise as well. This woman wasn't trying to keep up with the latest gossip. She didn't have time for the latest gossip. She's. By the way, when you get involved, you have no perception of spiritual things. Not anymore. No. She wasn't following some TV series, you know, some soap opera or something like that. No. See, if she was doing all that, she probably would have missed out on the man of God. She would have missed out on an opportunity to serve God. All over the world, it breaks my heart to think of how many godly women, people that have the potential to do great things for God, how they're going to miss out because they don't perceive that something great is happening right under their nose. Because they're too busy in the other things, too busy gadding about, the Bible calls it. And so she was perceptive because she walked with God. And you know, fortunate is the family where the wife and mother walks with God because she has the right perception. You know, I thank God, my wife is, you know, there is that women's intuition thing. And it's spooky sometimes. My mom always, you know, she just knew. I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. Didn't matter how good a story I had worked up. She just always knew. And, you know, you have that spooky woman's intuition thing. But better than that is a wife and a mom that walks with God. That just knows God. Just knows God. She was perceptive. Number two, she was persuaded. She was persuaded. Verse 10, I love it. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Wow. You know, here's somebody who was persuaded. He said to Gehazi, his servant, verse 12, call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. But here's a woman that said, you know what? Let's take a little area in our room here and our living room or a little area in our house and let's put a little bed there, a little table there and let's have a place for the man of God called a prophet's chamber, which we now have a prophet's chamber here. And that's how they came about, how they got called a prophet's chamber because of the Shunammite woman here. And once she perceived that this man was a man of God and a holy man of God, she said, I will sacrifice. I will sacrifice. I'll sacrifice an area of my house for him. She was spiritually persuaded that this was something she needed to do. Boy, praise God for people who are spiritually persuaded. The Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, his own heart. Let every man be fully persuaded, not with a gun pointed at him. You could do a lot of things, and you would do a lot of things with a gun pointed at you. Doesn't mean you're persuaded. It means you might be persuaded for that moment not to get shot, but no, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about with your arm twisted behind your back. You know, I mean, with your arm twisted behind your back, you might say something somebody wants you to say, or you might do something, but you're not persuaded, not fully persuaded. It's not talking about having your head in a headlock, you know. All right, you will do this. All right, I will. But that doesn't mean you're persuaded. No. fully persuaded what God wants is he wants somebody to perceive things because they're walking with God and be persuaded that this is of God. Convicted. And that only comes when we walk with God, we read the Word of God, and we are ultimately persuaded by God. That's when we make sacrifice. That's when we sing when we make the sacrifice instead of gripe and complain. There's a huge difference. Amen? Huge difference. You know, the sacrifice, whether it's giving, whether it's working, whatever it is, when we make that sacrifice because God has put on our heart, this is right, this is the way that I want you to go. I mean, it's so much easier. And she was persuaded by God to put this little chamber in her home to help the Lord's servant. How blessed the family is that grows up seeing mom be really persuaded. Not blown around by the winds of time and by the winds of the world and all this kind of stuff. No, no, she just, hey, this is right, and it's if it's right today, it'll be right tomorrow. Amen. And it'll be right 10 years from now too. Thank God for kids being able to see a mom that, you know what, this is from God, this is right, and I'm going to stick with it. Praise God. I'm talking about belief that is rooted in the conviction from God Almighty, not changing because the world says so. Amen, sir. Thank God she was persuaded. She said, I will do this, and we're going to do this as long as the man of God is coming by. He has a place not only to eat, he has a place to stay. She was perceptive. She was persuaded. Number three, she was patient. I love this. By the way, you walk with God, you become these things. You spend time with God, you become these things. Thank God for some moms here who have walked with God for years. And you know, there's a child sitting here thinking right now, that's my mom. There's a husband sitting here, that's my wife. She was patient. Verse 13, he said unto him, So she's been doing this all this time, and Elisha says, call this Shunammite. And verse 13, he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? You've been feeding us all this time. We've had all these good meals. You now have a place for me to stay when I pass by, and a nice bed for me to sleep in, and you've taken care of me. What can I do for you? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Obviously, this is something that she'd wanted. Obviously, something she'd prayed about. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. But I say she was patient because of her first response when Elisha says, what can we do for you? I'll talk to the king. I'll talk to the captain of the guard. I'll talk to anybody. How can I help you for what you've done? By the way, she didn't do it to get. But here is the offer, and here's what she says. I dwell among my own people. What's she say? I'm content. I'm very happy with my own people. I'm very happy with my lot in my life. I read that immediately. I thought of godliness with contentment is great gain. There's nobody any happier than someone who is godly. They're walking with God and they're content. Amen. Content! Content! Patient! Well, I'm just trusting the Lord every day. As she was content. She was patient being a wife. Being a wife and a mother. In fact, she was so excited about being a mother. Oh, man of God, don't play games with me now. I mean, you're going to give me a child. Don't say it unless it's true. You know, just trust in the Lord. Just patient as a wife, as a mother. You know, she was patient. She was content with her home. You know, Boy, I feel so sorry for the men that they have to hear stuff all the time about why don't we have a bigger house? Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? You know, and that's our world. It's promoted on television. It's promoted in magazines. It's promoted in the workplace. You know, well, you got to have this. You got to have this. You got to have this. You got to have all these things. You know, the Shunammite woman would say, you know what? If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. If He doesn't, I won't. She was content with her home. She was content with her income. Patient. Well, if you can't give me these things, I'll just go get a job and get them myself. No, but see, her job was where God had put her, and she was patient with that. Didn't bother her. She didn't need, didn't care. You know? Well, I'll talk to the king. I'll talk to the captain of the host. No. She said, no, I'm happy. I dwell among my own people. I'm very content with that. Wow. I love that. That's how America used to be. Amen. And there are still some, but it becomes fewer and fewer and fewer. She was patient with her husband. Amen. You know, the Bible didn't say a whole lot about him, other than he's old. That's about it. You know, what do you say? Well, I would venture to say she wasn't flirting with other men. She wasn't out throwing the line out, you know, just see what she might be able to catch. I would say she wouldn't be chatting with men in some chat room somewhere or texting men back and forth that weren't her husband, because she was very content with the husband that God had given her. She wasn't looking for him. See, here's the thing. She was patient with her lot in life. I know the world says, oh, you know, you can do this, you can do that. And you know what? She was walking with God, and godliness with contentment is you can't have more. You cannot, there's nothing. Well, how would you like a new Cadillac? No, I don't need that. It doesn't matter to me. Patiently content, yet in her heart, she had wanted a child. And now the man of God said, you're going to have a child. Wow. You know, people who are patient with the things in life, it's so fun to watch God give to them. It's so fun to see God do things. Not people that are always scheming and conniving to get. I'm talking about people that just say, you know what? God's going to take care of me. I'm going to work. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. And if God provides, then God provides. If God gives extra, He gives extra. I have so much fun watching God bless the Shunammite people in the world, and especially a Shunammite mother. What a blessing. She was perceptive, she was persuaded, she was patient. Number four, she was passionate. She was passionate. Our little passage here that I read in honoring mothers and how mothers are known. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Carry him to his mother. Why? Because Dad knew that there would be no greater love for that child than right there in his mother's lap. By the way, there was no 911 to call. There was no emergency room to go to. There was no doctor to have come that was nearby. No, but there was one who loved that child. There was one who had cared for that child late at night, early in the morning. There was one who had passion for that child, and that's his mother. Used to be mothers had that kind of passion for their children. We are seeing, and we will see it more and more as long as abortion is legal, where mothers don't have that same passion anymore. You'll read about children being killed by their mother. We're still in shock. Stay in shock.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not right. It's not normal. It's not natural. Mothers are to love their children. But so many mothers now have slaughtered a little baby in the womb and suctioned out that little body piece by piece. And we hear about it, and it's like we're not shocked anymore. And mothers have had somewhat of a disregard for an inconvenience of a child. By the way, older folks, wonder when they're going to think we're inconvenient. Right. Yes, sir. If that little baby in the womb can be removed because it's inconvenient, the Shunammite wouldn't know what that's about. Oh, bring the child to me. Let him be on my lap. Verse 20, it simply says, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Maybe they started at 5 in the morning. Maybe this happened at 6 in the morning. Don't know. I can tell you this. He could have sat on her lap for weeks and weeks and weeks, and she would have nursed him and cared for him and rubbed a cold rag on his head. She'd have done anything she could. It wouldn't matter because she had a passion, a love for that child. Oh, would to God we'd get back to mothers loving their children. Get back to that being more important than anything in this world is that little child that God gave. That's the most important thing. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Why did she do that? Because she's perceptive. That's why. Because she was persuaded. God gave me this child. God's in charge. God's in control. She shut the door upon him and went out and left her little dead, lifeless body of her child on the bed of the man of God and went out to do what? To get the man of God. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Where's she going? She's going to the place that she was perceptive about. Going to the place that she was persuaded about. My God can do anything. She knew God gave her that child. And now that child's life is in God's hands. Can I mention to you this? God gave you your children too. Amen. God gave you your children. Or should I say, God gave your child parents. Real passion, godly passion, would always be to seek God first. Always. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My child! My child! Oh God! Before we ever call anybody else. Oh, God, before we seek the state's help. Oh, God, I need you before we ever talk to a doctor. Oh, God, I've got to, before we ever go to a worldly professional. But see, in our day, we seek everything else for our children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything. Wisdom, knowledge, you name it. The Shunammite woman, she knew that because of her passion. Her passion. I want what's best for my child. Not what's going to make me look good, but what's best for my child. And I'm going to seek the man of God. Number 5, she was at peace. Absolutely amazing is verse 23 and verse 26. But verse 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Husband says, well, wait a minute. You're going to go. She said, it shall be well. It's going to be okay. It shall be well. She was at peace. She wasn't angry. You know, not one time do you hear gripe, complain, bitter, nothing. Nothing like that. Hey, husband. It shall be well. This is all your fault. Not one time. I went, hey, he's too young to be out there in the field. I told you that in the first place. Not at all. What the husband says, what, where are you going now? She said, it shall be well. Oh, how many husbands would love to have a wife that would say that in the midst of this trial instead of griping, complaining, and blaming this, that, and the other thing. How many children would love to hear a mom at home say, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Our homes are so full of bitterness, anger, and blame where there should be peace. We're God's. We have God. It should be peace in our homes. Yeah, no matter what the circumstance. This, you can't get a worse circumstance than this one. And she tells her husband, it shall be well. And the husband, you know, boy, he has to appreciate that. She was at peace. Number six, just got a couple more here. She was persistent. She had peace, but she was persistent. Though she had peace, she did everything she could do. Amen. You have not because you ask not because we quit. And here's somebody who was persistent doing everything she could do. Hey, mom, don't give up. Hey, grandma, don't give up. All over this room, people about to give up. Just ready to get, you know what? I just can't take it. You can take it. Just keep going. So many have quit. So many have given up. But you don't need to. Be persistent. Just keep going. Verse 24, it says she saddled, the Bible says she saddled an ass, said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. In other words, yeah! Amen. So she went and get, but again, in her heart's peace, she told her husband, it shall be well. Servant, go fast. Yes, I love that. You know, so she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered him, it is well. Whew. I mean, she's moving right along. Amen. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. I mean, she is persistent. She said, I will not leave thee, man of God. Why was she like that? Because years ago she was persuaded. Why would we turn from God to anything else? Why would we go away from the things of God for anything else? When we, I guess maybe we would because we weren't persuaded years ago. I don't know. She was. Like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God till his thigh was out of joint, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm not letting you go. And the Bible says, from that time on, he had a staff because the thigh was out of joint. But he said, I'm not letting go.
Amen.
Persistent. She said, I'm not leaving you, man of God. I need something from you. We know it's not always God's will to heal. But we also know ye have not because ye ask not. Answer is not always what we think it ought to be, but it is always an answer. I suggest we be persistent moms. There's moms all over this room praying for a child. Health, spiritual reasons, begging God. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Be persistent. Hang in there. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Number one, I said she was perceptive. Number two, she was persuaded. Number three, she was patient. Number four, she was passionate. Number five, she was at peace. Number six, she was persistent. Number seven, she was positive. I love that. There is so much negative garbage in this world. Our God's not negative. It's all, I mean, honestly, every time somebody is negative, I think you've not read the whole book. We win. We are on the winning side. And well, you know, this and that. And, oh, you know, they're making this law and making that. Phooey on all that stuff. She was positive because verse 26, she answered, it is well. Wait a minute. In the midst, your child is laying on a bed in the house, a bed that you had dedicated to God Almighty and to His servant, and your child that God gave you is dead? And you're going to say that it is well? Yeah, because she believed God, that His will is always well. And here's the thing. She told Gehazi, it is well. What's that mean? That means her testimony before other people was it as well. Yeah. That doesn't mean that she didn't get before God and fall on her face and cry. You say, well, I don't feel. Put on Jesus. Just put on Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Just put on Jesus. Amen. Amen. Doesn't mean she didn't get before God. Oh God, why did you take my son? Oh God, please. But then in front of somebody else, she said, you know what? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. I think if there was if the Shunammite woman had Facebook, she would put on her Facebook post, it is well. Amen. I think if she was texting, she'd put smiley faces. Whatever that is. With a little... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I don't understand all that stuff, but... I think if she got on a phone call, she'd say, yeah, keep praying, but I'm still rejoicing. Because it's well. Praise God for mothers who are positive. Some of you ladies are dragging everybody around into the pit of discouragement and despair right along with you. Because you just can't, again, maybe you just don't have that walk with God. But you don't get it. I don't feel like it. Put on Jesus. Because somebody's watching you. Amen. One of the greatest compliments. Pastor, how's things going? Well, things are good. Well, I heard that this wasn't going well for you, but I couldn't tell. Amen. That's a great compliment. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So many folks are just so negative. Now, when she's alone with God, I can hear her crying out to God. Verse 28, she says to the man of God, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You can talk to God about anything you want. But you know what? When you talk to others, it'd be all right to say, you know what, it's okay. Some of the greatest lessons that I've learned was probably two funerals stand out to me, and both of them were people very, very close to me. Brother Ken Dehas, one of my assistants, and then one of my best friends, Brother Phil Kishonik. Both guys, one was 30, the other was 27 when they died, and both had young wives. And I remember watching the wives at the funeral home during the visitation time. And I remember watching them with a smile encourage other people. And I thought, I don't get that. I had talked to God about it several times. I had, you know, God, I don't, how are they doing that? Why aren't they falling down and crying their eyes out? I can still see Kathy Dehas with 40 stitches in her head and a big old Band-Aid from the accident that took her husband. I can still see her standing there, hugging people and smiling and saying, it'll be okay, as others came and literally fell in her arms and cried. And she's saying, it'll be okay. God's got it all under control. I said, what is this? I don't get it. I don't know of a better testimony in all the world. I really don't. It is well. How's it going? All is well. Because God is still on the throne. She was positive. And then the last thing, number 8, she was pleased with the result. I promise you this. You follow this pattern right here, you will be pleased with how it all turns out. Verse 31, Gehazi passed on. Gehazi, he laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Nothing happened. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child. The flesh of the child waxed warm. It's good, isn't it? And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. There's that 7 again. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And she was pleased. She was pleased with the result of what God did. It's time, you know, that we realize there are some moms that are just like this Shunammite woman right here. You know, they have perceived of things godly. They're persuaded and have conviction. And it doesn't change just because somebody else says it should. And they've been persuaded, and they're so persuaded, they're patient no matter what goes on, no matter what their lot in life. They're just going to trust the Lord with it. And because of that, they're passionate about those they're supposed to love. And they love them. And they'll do anything for them. And they have a peace that passes all understanding. And when it's time to pray, they're persistent. When it's time for God to do something, they don't give up. But all the time, they're positive. Why? Because God is God. Time's up. But every time, I promise you this, they're pleased with how it all turns out. You will be too. Some of you can say, I am, because you've seen it turn out. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.